Refresh.
Good Monday morning, guys. This is your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you with another episode of Refresh Podcast. I hope your morning has been off to an absolute incredible start as you're getting a move out on the day that you have planned, whether you're bringing the kiddos to school, you're trying to plan your route to get around parades. It is parade time and it is absolute madness and craziness. Today is actually my birthday, which is super exciting. I make 25, so praise God. The first quarter of my birthday the first quarter of my life has been absolutely incredible, and God just continues to blow me away from the things that he helps me accomplish, and I'm super grateful, and I'm excited to see what the next quarter holds. So today we will not be resuming the series Stepping in the Standard. We will finish that up next week. Today I just decided to take a more radical, spontaneous direction after a worship sesh last night at church. So let's pray, and we're going to talk more about that. Father, I just thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to speak to your people and encourage the body of Christ. Father, I pray that you would just instill your love within our hearts, God. Father, I thank you that you are superior, God. There is no one like you on all this earth. God, I pray that you just prepare our hearts and our ears to receive a word from you here today. Father, we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, so today we're going to be talking about real love. What is real love, and what does real love look like? So what gave birth to this idea was, so the worship team was playing this song yesterday. The song's called That's What Mercy Did For Me, and I want to say that it's sang by Casting Crowns or Mercy Me, one of those guys. And there's that part that says, you gave me real love, and I thank you, Jesus, for you washed my sins away. And that's just so powerful that he gives us real love. So so one of the greatest passages in the Bible that gives us the example of real love is 1 Corinthians 13. And let's take a look at that and see what that says. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So right away, what Paul is saying here, he's talking about that if I pray, if I speak with the tongues of men, and if I speak and I pray in my heavenly language, but I do not have love, all I am is a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All I'm doing is making noise. If love is not present in my heart, if love is not the center of my heart, if love is a stranger to my heart, all I'm doing is making noise. Verse 2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I can have all these gifts. I can be active in all of these spiritual gifts and all of these areas, but if love is absent from my heart, then I'm not anything at all. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now, before we progress forward, this is going to be the portion of the scripture that you might be super duper familiar with. People read it all the time. You got little girls reading it to get an idea of what Christian boy they should look for, or you know what they should look for in a man. You know they doodle. They replace love in this scripture with somebody else's name. But if you go back in the Greek text, which is the original text, and you look at what kind of love this is, It is referred to as, it's that agape love, and that agape love is that fatherly love. It's that godly love. And so it's talking about God here in this moment. It's talking about God here every time it mentions love. So every time it mentions love here in this scripture, it's talking about God. So this is what it's saying right here. Let's go back once. Now that we know this, and let's reread this. And every time I see the word love, I'm going to say God instead. And check this out. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have God, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not love, but do not have God, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have God, it profits me nothing. Do you see how that evolves? Do you see how that begins to take shape and take form? And it's a simple thing. It's like, it just has so much power whenever you replace that love with God, because it becomes alive. That you can have all these gifts, that you can pray, and you can be a great person who prays. You can have this heavenly language, and it'll sound amazing. And you can have this gift of prophecy, and you can have all of these amazing things. You can give to the poor and be a philanthropist. But if you don't have God, you have nothing, and none of it matters. You're wasting your time. Verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never gives up. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. And if there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have become fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Wow. That's a lot to take in, right? So let's kind of recap just a wee bit, and we're going to do the same thing. Remember, we're going to take love, and every time it says love, we're going to say God. So watch this. God is patient. God is kind and is not jealous. God does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. He does not seek its own. He is not provoked. He does not take into account a wrong suffered. He does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. God never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. But now faith, hope, God abide these three. But the greatest of these is God. Guys, God is real love. And right here in 1 Corinthians 13, God is giving us the standard. God is showing us what he's going to provide. that whenever we sell out and whenever we allow our hearts to love the Creator, to love the very one that coded it, to love King Jesus, and we open up our hearts to love Him, we will experience these things. So often, we tend to take this scripture and we use it as a template to measure how our spouse is going to be, or how our boyfriend or girlfriend is going to be. And then we read it like, oh, Jill is patient. Jill is kind. Oh, Bobby is not jealous. You know, Bobby does not brag. You know, we do those things. But the what if Jill is impatient one day? And you're like, uh-oh, that's an invasion of scripture. What if Bobby isn't kind one day? You know, what if Bobby is jealous one day? You know, like, what if these things become void because we have taken what is written for God and we have placed someone else's name there? This is a promise from the Father. Now, don't get me wrong. It's all cutesy and it's romantic whenever you read it at a wedding, and it sounds really, really good. But this is a stamp of approval. This is a promise. This is a vow from God that He says, hey, you want to know what my love looks like? This is what my love's going to do for you. That if you sell out to my love will be patient. My love will be kind. My love will not be jealous. My love will not brag. My love will not be arrogant. My love will not act unbecomingly. My love is not seeking for its own. My love is not provoked. My love does not take an account of wrong suffered. My love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with truth. And I love that, guys. That is what real love is. And I say the term, and I've said this before, and it's real love. And the reason is because there is false love. There is false love. And you need to know that, because you're participating in false love. And let me give you some examples. We use the term love so loosely. We tend to use it without even being comprehensible of what it truly means. And we begin to say stuff like, oh, I love pizza. And don't worry, guys, I am super guilty. I do the same thing. Oh, I love that TV show. Oh, I love that movie. Oh, I love that shirt. Oh, I love those shoes. You know, like, oh, I love that video game. Like, we tend to say, I love whenever we mean like, hey, I'm interested, or hey, that was awesome, or hey, I'm in. Or hey, you know, I'm a big fan of this. And guys, we really have to get back on track with reserving that word for something that we truly, truly mean. Like whenever we step into that serious place with a guy, with a girl, and oh, I love you. You know, with your parents, hey guys, I love you. You know, I use it a lot with my brothers, you know, in Christ, like, hey bro, I love you, man. You know, but we cannot forget that above all of those loves, above all of those people that we care for, that the greatest love is the love of the Father, because it never runs dry. It is immeasurable. That means you can never, ever measure. You can never, ever, ever comprehend it. It is unconditional, meaning that whatever you do, you cannot get rid of the love. It is unconditional. It is relentless. It never, ever stops. It has no end. It has no bounds. Guys, I don't think you understand, but this is the realest love. This is the most authentic love that you could ever, ever get a hold of, that you can ever become a part of. What other love would die for you so that you can have a better life? Because that's what the love of the Father did. That Romans 5:8 would say, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means whenever we were living lives that were displeasing to the Father, and we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, that God still gave His Son to provide a way for us to have a better life. Guys, there's no better love. Guys, there's no greater love. Colossians 3:14 says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Guys, love brings an opportunity to be unified with God. We need the love of the Father. And guys, you want to know something? Whenever you have the love of the Father engraved into your heart, whenever you have the love of the Father embedded into your heart, whenever you have that love of God that is just present and existing in your heart, every person that you come into contact with, it just makes it so much easier to love them, to serve them, to pray for them, to see them the way that God sees them. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, but cling to what is good. Romans 12:9. Guys, I hope you're getting something out of this today. And I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Guys, scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture enforces, talks about the love of the Father. Love is important. Do not be consumed. Do not be consumed by false love. Do not be persuaded. Do not be lied to. Do not be deceived by love that is not real. And the things that this world loves, do not love it, because you will perish with it. Things in this world is limited. And one day it would all fade away. But love never, ever will. And I'm so grateful for our real love, because there's been times in my life where I've loved things that weren't real. Times in my life where, you know, I chased after things that I thought loved me, that I gave myself to things that I thought was love. And it was nothing more than deception. It was nothing more than an imposter. Do not fall for the imposter of love. God, I just pray that this speaks to someone's heart here today, that they needed to hear that the love that they're invested in is not real love. Or maybe, just maybe, that someone, one of your children, needed to be reminded of how real your love is, that you are willing to give a part of yourself, so that we can be free, so that we can be set free, so that we can be delivered, so that we can have an opportunity at eternity. God, I thank you that your love is patient. God, I thank you that there is no love like your love. I thank you that your love is kind and it never ever gives up on us. God, I thank you for your sovereignty. I thank you for your direction. I thank you for who you are, God. For there is truly no one like you, and we give you the absolute highest praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me here today on this episode of Refresh Podcast. I do apologize if this was a little bit all over the place. It was just something that I needed to just, you know, bring to the table today. Just be reminded of that real love, and do not be lied to. Do not be deceived. Guys, this has been another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. And this has been your boy, the birthday boy, the Muffin Man. Have a great day, guys. I love you guys so, so much. Take it easy. Don't be cheesy. Have a good day. Boom. Yeah.